Heard a beep.
All right. It's the Mornings with Ed show, and I told you, I've been excited about this thing the entire week now. What I'm talking about is the Apollo 11 show that's taking place right now. It's touring 18 cities. It's already started in Los Angeles over at the Rose Bowl. They have performances in Los Angeles through August 11th. And you can get tickets for as low as $25. Keep in mind, as I've been saying all morning, it's a performance. It's a play. It's live. It's not like a museum piece. It's not a movie or an exhibit. It's a one-of-a-kind show, and it's taking place under a one-of-a-kind lunar dome. It'll be here in Orange County on October 10th at the Costa Mesa Orange County Fairgrounds. Tickets are available now, and I could not be more honored that we have Charlie Duke and Jerry Griffin on the phone with us, and I've been telling you all morning who these people are. Charlie Duke, of course, Apollo 16 astronaut and youngest man to walk on the moon. Jerry Griffin, of course, one of the, you couldn't do it without him. Jerry joined NASA as a flight controller in Mission Control, and that's the voice you're hearing during a lot of the Apollo missions. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning.
Our pleasure. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
All right. Now, I got to tell you right now, I'm giddy, man. But heroes of mine. Heroes of mine. And so I'm absolutely giddy about this moment. On the 50th anniversary of the Apollo landing, of the moon landing, what is it we can expect from this show that you guys have put together?
Well, this is Jerry. I think what you're going to find in this show, there's nothing like live theater, I think, to really tell a story. And this story is going to be very inspirational. It's going to be entertaining. And I think it's going to really hit a note with young people, older people, people that were around in 1969, and those that weren't. So I'm really excited about it. I've been involved with it for about a year now, and reviewing script and technical detail, and they have really nailed it.
Now, Jerry, since I have you on first, Jerry, you were the lead flight director for Apollo 12, 15, and 17, and again, you were the voice of my youth, man. I would hear you. I would hear you during all of these missions. Is there a sense of helplessness being at flight control that you're not as hands-on as the astronauts would be?
No, actually, it was very much of a team feel.
Okay.
Between the astronauts and mission control, we were kind of like a very close family. You know, our kids grew up together, and we lived close to each other, and so when it was time to fly a mission, it was time to get the family together and go do it.
Okay.
And so we felt very close. And I should mention too that, by the way, we always got the ink in mission control, and the astronaut got the coverage, but we had great support people below that level that helped us do this. We didn't do it just inside that mission control room or the astronauts by themselves.
Right.
In fact, it was such a strong team that we almost forgot the personal pronoun I. It was we.
That's the perfect way to put it. And that's really the only way you could have accomplished the things that you did, I'm guessing.
Now, I think it is.
Now, in between the very first Apollo mission and Apollo 16, what kind of changes and improvements did you notice? Unfortunately, and we'd spoken earlier with the audience here about the deaths of Virgil Grissom and Ed White and Roger Chaffee. What kind of changes and improvements happened to the Apollo program as it progressed?
We got more and more scientists. This is Charlie. We got more and more scientifically involved. Our stay on the moon started, 24 hours or so. And by the time the last three missions came, 15, 16, and 17, we had 3 days on the moon. We had developed a car called the Lunar Rover, which revolutionized lunar exploration.
Right.
We had a science package that was very, very sophisticated. So the science return and from Apollo was tremendous on the last three missions. We collected probably on those three missions over 600 pounds of lunar samples and did countless experiments. So we got very comfortable on the lunar surface, and we had confidence in our suits and our equipment, and we were just focused on doing the mission. So right. There was a lot going on. I'd like to also add about this Apollo 11 show that's going to be starting tonight.
Okay.
It's not only just people talking, but it's a visual extravaganza. They got visual effects that are going to be tremendous. You're going to watch a lunar lander. You're going to watch a liftoff with visuals. And it's done from the standpoint of from mission control, which people don't really get in most of the movies. It's the documentaries that focuses on the flight. But this is sort of from mission control standpoint,
right.
Telling the story. I can't wait. It's going to be really, really tremendous. I'm standing in this dome right now, and it is one of the most impressive pieces of work that I've ever seen.
So I was
trying. Come on out, everybody. It's going to be tremendous.
I was trying to describe that dome to my audience a little bit earlier, and I can imagine. So, if it's taking place from the sensory of mission control, then it's the meat and potatoes of the mission, is what you're talking about. And, Charlie, since I have you on for a second, when, again, the youngest man to walk on the moon, and knowing the expectations before takeoff, After the moon landing, and after you walked, and after you came back, did it change you at all? Did you feel more of a kinship? How does going to the moon change someone?
Well, to me, it wasn't a spiritual experience, or it wasn't a technical. It was just technical experience. It wasn't a philosophical change. It was just a sense of pride. Right. I came back. So excited, I wanted to go again. So I was more focused on the operational side of it and just the wonder of it all.
Right.
And you know, I'm on the moon, and the excitement and the adventure and the all of this beautiful untouched landscape really touched me. So it gave me a sense of pride, but. Right. As far as life-changing experience, I can't say I had that on
okay.
the moon. It was just a big adventure for me.
Okay. And what you're describing as that technical wonder, that exploration, do you think we still, to this day, do we have that vision? Do we have that will to explore? Do you think we've lost any of our imagination?
No, I think we've gained a lot, actually. An interest in going back to the moon, of course, and there's an opportunity maybe to build on that, to go to Mars. I keep referring back to 2 years ago in the summer of 2017, NASA had a call for more astronauts. They had 18,000 applications.
I may have been one of them.
I probably were. I mean, 18,000. They picked 12. And so there's not any lack of interest in the millennial generation to get out there and let's go do it.
Yeah.
So I think the budget is the problem, you know, getting the money through the Congress and the imagination and the desire to go back to the moon and on beyond is there. And I think we have the technology to do it. I'm so excited about SpaceX and Blue Origin and Boeing with their Starliner and all the other companies that are putting their money where their mouth is. And the space tourism and commercial space is going to be really tremendous.
I appreciate you giving me a little hope. I appreciate that. That sounds so positive for the future, and that makes me feel really great that you feel that way. I couldn't be happier. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Charlie Duke and Jerry Griffin. Charlie Duke, astronaut on Apollo 16. He also worked Capcom during Apollo 11. Jerry Griffin, Mission Control. You know the voice. You've recognized it a million times. One final question before I let you guys go. During the Apollo 11 mission, I heard, and it may have been you, Charlie, that something about a 1202 alarm, and within seconds we were going to abort the landing. That moment, can you take us back to that moment for a second?
Yeah, we were in our descent. We had had a problem with communications. We saw that problem. And then the computer alarm came. I think the first one was 1201, which was an executive overload in our computer. And then we had another 1202. And to be honest, my heart sank when I saw those alarms and I heard the crew call these alarms, because without the computer, we can't land. Right. The mission rule says you need the computer. But our guidance folks in the back room, Jack Garman and Steve Bales and the flight controller, they almost instantly said, "We're going that alarm." So they had researched that computer. They knew it backwards, forwards, up, and down, and they knew what these alarms meant. And there was some hesitation, but just a second or two. And when they said, "We're go," I just hollered up as Capcom. I said, "We're going those alarms." And so we continued our descent. But that was shocking at first when you saw that.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, was the first moments I had. But then we were going those alarms, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you handled it like a pro. The show is Apollo 11. It starts tonight at the Rose Bowl under this magnificent dome, a sensory experience. You'll be touring 18 cities here in Costa Mesa on October 10th, and tickets are available. A one-of-a-kind lunar dome that you experience this in. It's a show for all ages. Tickets start as low as $25. Charlie and Jerry, I got to tell you how honored I am to have you both on the show, how honored I am to walk this earth at the same time that you gentlemen are. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.